You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, and this is our latest look at the Cleveland Indians. I'm joined by Jordan Bastian. JB, a little news this week, not quite to the level of the Edwin Encarnacion contract, but we do have another multi-year contract in the fold here. Brandon Guyer, they avoided arbitration with Guyer on a two-year, $5 million contract, basically buys out the two arbitration years, and then there's an option on top of that for 2019, a club option. So obviously, this was a guy they brought in at the trade deadline. I think his impact got a little overlooked or underrated just as a function of, you know, being an Andrew Miller shadow. That was the huge trade deadline acquisition, but Guyer was a nice one as well.
Yeah, he was. You know, really, really great role player, and I know he would love the opportunity to become, you know, an everyday player, but obviously his track record against left-handed pitching really speaks to, you know, using him in that way. And he kind of projects to partner with Lonnie Chisenhall in right field. Last year, he had over 1,000 OPS against lefty pitching, you know, and kind of give them that depth at the corner outfield spots. And talked to Chris Antonetti, and he said this spring they'll even run him out the center field a little bit. He's played a little bit there in the past, but he didn't do that down the stretch with the Indians. So, you know, it's a really affordable contract. As you mentioned, 2 years, $5 million, with a chance to keep him in the fold for $3 million in 2019, you know, a nice complimentary piece to have on the bench and a guy who could potentially grow into to more plate appearances. And when you got a chance to kind of lock a guy in with an affordable deal like that, you know, knowing that he really fits that roster puzzle that manager Terry Francona likes to piece together, you know, it makes complete sense. And it's nice just for the player and for the team not to have to go through that whole arbitration process again.
Yeah, he had a nice postseason as well. Hit .333, got on base at a .500 clip in the postseason. Of course, he was a big part of the game-tying home run by Roger Davis. He was the guy who got on base in front of that and then got on base in front of Davis again in the 10th when they came within a run of tying it. But so, yeah, obviously a nice piece. I just wonder, JB, do they have insurance on this contract if he breaks something, you know, getting hit by a pitch? Because this guy is the – I believe he's still the all-time leader in percentage basis of getting hit by pitches.
Yeah, I forget what the exact number was that I tweeted, but somebody said, a fan said, Craig Biggio laughs at Brandon Guyer's hit by pitch. And I said, actually, you know, when you look at it, Biggio, I think, was once every 40-something plate appearances, and Guyer's
right,
like once every 14 plate appearances. It's something ridiculous. He got hit 31 times. When I found out there was some performance bonuses in his contract, I jokingly asked someone in the front office if, you know, they were based on hit by pitch, and they said no way, that'd be a deal breaker, you know, because he gets hit so much. But he got hit twice in the World Series. That's 33 for 2016, and I was a little disappointed when I looked up on FanGraphs the projections for 2017. They only have him at 14 times in 80 games. I think it's going to be higher than that. I'll take the over.
Well, so they come to terms with Guyer. I know some fans got a little hot and bothered earlier this week thinking they might sign another outfielder. There was a report from Ken Rosenthal. The Indians were keeping tabs on Jose Bautista. I don't know about you. I mean, when I heard that, you do your due diligence, as any team should, but it never struck me as a particularly realistic scenario unless his market, it would absolutely have to be totally crumbled. And if it came to that point, I'm sure there'd be a lot of teams interested, but he ends up getting an $18 million guarantee from the Blue Jays. It never seemed like the Indians were in that, you know, that wheelhouse.
Yeah, I mean, the report was very vague. You know, part of you wants to kind of eye roll a little bit because, you know, they wouldn't really go out and add another big bat in free agency, would they? But then the other part of you goes, well, I mean, this is Ken Rosenthal. This guy's usually on the mark. And the Indians have surprised us now. They surprised us by getting Andrew Miller. They surprised us by getting Edwin Encarnacion. You know, at what point do we sort of let go of our previous perception of the way this franchise operates and kind of allow ourselves to think, hey, maybe they are going to do that? You know, but I think right now what we go on is when at the Edwin Encarnacion press conference when we talked to Chris Antonetti, you know, he said that any additions of any financial significance are probably not going to happen from this point on. And I think when you saw Roger Davis sign for what he signed for in Oakland,
right,
it was kind of a testament because that was a pretty affordable deal. We spoke with Antonetti again, in light of the Bautista rumors and after the Guyer contract, you know, we asked if he, you know, was looking to continue to add. And his quote was that the Indians owner, Paul Dolan, has encouraged the front office to continue to look for ways to improve the team. So that's an interesting statement, because that's saying the ownership is the one that might be pushing them, where if there's something like a Bautista or somebody else out there, maybe that means there is a little more resources than we think are available at the moment. So it's interesting at least to see them tied into that. You know, there's obviously not a surplus of options left on the open market, but there are still some intriguing bats, and there's still sort of that cloudy situation surrounding Michael Brantley, where, you know, the latest update we got is he has resumed hitting off a tee, so he's well ahead of where he was at this point last year. But still, I mean, no one's going to know until spring training, until he gets into games, until he gets into multiple games, you know, if Michael Brantley is realistic for opening day. So, you know, I think they're trying to continue to explore the market, you know, with that encouragement by ownership, you know, maybe with a little bit more of a blessing to spend if they need to, and also sort of being cognizant of the fact that they might need to have an insurance plan for Brantley.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty highly leveraged at the moment. Their payroll has gone up about 45% from opening day last year, and the whole payroll at this point is based on the idea of making another deep postseason run. That's basically what it's just not unlike the Royals were kind of in that situation in 2016, and you see them kind of shedding salary now because of that. They basically leveraged themselves, and the postseason run didn't happen. But, you know, but you're right. They have surprises before, and you think that nobody likes this comparison, but you think back to the Nick Swisher and Michael Bourne year when they signed those two guys, and they had already given up the pick for Swisher and figured, well, might as well give up the second-round pick for Bourne when his market faltered. I don't think it'll be to that level, and obviously there's only one guy left who's attached to a draft pick, and that's Mark Trumbo. But yeah, maybe something comes around you know, around the time of pitchers and catchers reporting, because the fact of the matter is there's still a lot of bats out there and not a lot of obvious fits for those bats. I think from the Indians' perspective, if you had an unlimited budget, go out and get an outfielder or go out and get a third baseman and allow Jose Ramirez to bounce around like he did last year. But, you know, it's hard to make it work financially or deepen the bullpen for that matter, add another bullpen arm. But we shall see what happens on that front. One other thing, JB, just the Hall of Fame announcement this week, and Manny Ramirez obviously not going into the Hall of Fame in his first year on the ballot, but a player near and dear to Indians fans' hearts, or at least mine, from coming up in the Cleveland organization, having some great years there. But we all know what happened towards the end of his career, multiple PED suspensions, and I think ultimately that socks him. You know, we're seeing a little more leniency towards the PED crowd, and we're seeing an uptick in support for Bonds and Clements, but it still seems like there's that line, and at least from the percentages associated with Ramirez in his first year, it seems like there's that line in the sand where if you did violate actual policy, which Manny Ramirez did, it's going to come back to bite you.
Yeah, and that seems to be, as you mentioned, sort of that line that voters are drawing in the sand. You know, guys who are, you know, there's suspicions, but they were never punished, or, you know, we're pretty sure they used, but, you know, Manny Ramirez has it on his record. Now, I've also read, you know, a couple different sides of the opinions on this, and one side voter who I know voted for Manny Ramirez said, well, in the eyes of baseball, if he received punishment and served his time, then maybe he deserves more credit than the Barry Bondses of the world who weren't caught. You know, a guy who actually served his time and was punished. You know, it's a different way to look at it. I don't know where I fall on this issue. It's tough. I mean, this is one of the greatest right-handed power hitters in baseball history. A guy that I know, you know, as our children get older, if we're talking about baseball, you know, he's a guy that we'll remember talking about from when we were kids, one of the great players, you know, the Manny being Manny moments. But yeah, it's definitely, if he gets into the Hall of Fame, it's not going to be anytime soon, especially when you look at the percentage that he's at right now for this year's first year on the ballot, and also just how long it's taken guys like Bonds and Clemens to inch up in their own percentages. So interesting case indeed, and one of the first ones, I think the first since Palmeiro, where he's eligible for the Hall of Fame but actually has a suspension on his resume. You know, and I think that does create a little bit more of a different dilemma for the voting
yeah.
body.
Yeah, I guess, and kind of to that point, he is on the ballot, so not that they have this acceptance of his offenses, but he is still a member in good standing of Major League Baseball, and he was a special advisor with the Cubs, and so it's not like a Pete Rose situation where he's not even eligible to receive votes. So I guess there is the argument there that as long as you're a member in good standing of the Major League Baseball fraternity, you're kind of judged on your on-field merits. I'm not sure. But, yeah, it's a tough one, no doubt about it. I'm one of those supporters of the Bonds and Clemens movement just because I think that era is so hazy in general, and there's no omniscience about who did what and when. Not that I don't think those guys didn't use. I just mean we don't the full extent of who was using is it's just an impossible thing to know. So I think you just kind of judge statistics for what they are from that time. But Manny's a little different in having offended. So we shall see in years down the road. But for now, I want to thank everybody for tuning in and thank Jordan Bastian for joining us. This has been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.